Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Maharaj Dhritarashtra, dying of the family of Ajamiha, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, Prajna, broke at once the strong network of family affection by his resolute determination. Thus, he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother, Vidura. All right, we can all say it together. Thus, Maharaj Dhritarashtra. The scion of the family of Ajamita. Firmly convinced by introspective knowledge.
Prajna.
Broke at once his strong network of family affection. By his resolute determination. Thus he immediately left home. And set out on the path of liberation. As directed by his younger brother, Vidura.
So, Prabhu, if we could all please mute ourselves at this time, and I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody that's on free conference. If you ever need to say something during class, just unmute yourself with star 6. Okay, so just give me 1 second, Madan Mohan Prabhu. I've got to click 3 different buttons here, so just 1 second.
Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of associating with sadhus or pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. What's that? Lava Matra, is it? We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favored by His divine grace, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for only a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnet, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation. And he engaged and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of His divine grace. And here is another practical example of the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in a network of material affinities related to politics, economics, and family attachment, and he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects, but he was frustrated from the beginning to the end so far as his material activities were concerned. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord.
I needed to do that in order to record it. So go ahead, Prabhu. Sorry for the disruption.
All right. So we were talking about, and yet despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success and self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is a typical example of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association. What's Lord Chaitanya? He says, asat sangha tyag e vaishnav charan, also in a nectar of instruction. It's the only one I think that's mentioned twice in the do's and the don'ts, is give up the association of non-devotees. Okay. And rejecting all other kinds of association. By doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear sadhus who can cut to pieces the bonds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion because everything appears to be tangible reality, but the next moment everything is evaporated like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be a reality because it rains, and due to the rains, many temporary green things appear. But in the ultimate issue, everything disappears, namely the cloud, the rain, and the green vegetation, all in due course. But the sky remains, and the varieties of the sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally, and the temporary cloud-like illusions comes and goes away. Foolish living entities who are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more convinced of the eternal sky with all its variegatedness. Om Agyanam Timirandasya Jana Ajana Solakaya Chaksus Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surito Pangor Mamamanda Matergati Matsarva Swap Bojo Radha Madhana Mohano. So, because of Narhari's pending schedule, I'll jump to the conclusion and I'll do it backwards the way I was going to do it. In last night, I woke up at 10 after 1, and the class all came through to me. It was very nice. It took an hour. I turned the light on, wrote down two or three words, turned the light off, went back to sleep, woke up another second later, wrote down the next thing, and I wrote two pages. It was quite nice, and this is one of the things where it ended, is just like Prabhupada's pointing out in this purport, about the sadhu sangha. Now, I was reading this one book. It's called Srila Prabhupada, A Friend to All, Early Commentaries of Remembering Him, compiled by Mula Prakriti Devi Dasi, who I knew, and her husband. And the first person that's listed in this book is Srila Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj. And I'm just going to read a couple pieces from here. It says, this was early 1950. He said, one night around 1 or 2 a.m., there was a vigorous knocking on the door of the upstairs mat. It was Srila Prabhupada in great excitement, exclaiming how he has experienced a vivid dream. His Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, had appeared to him and strongly ordered him to renounce his household life and to take the sannyas order. Srila Prabhupada was shaking with emotion, explaining how he had so much responsibility to his family and to the and to that dharma, and how he could how this could be done. Srila Sridhar Maharaj said that Abhay Babu nevertheless earnestly requested him to please award him the sannyas ashram immediately. Sridhar Maharaj told him that he was personally favorably disposed to this, except for the connection he had with the Mullochs and the Day family. He explained that it would not be possible for better to do these things gradually. He suggested to prepare himself internally, then gradually introduce the idea to them. So Srila Prabhupada accepted his proposal reluctantly. Some months later had passed, and they continued their association of preaching programs. However, Sridhar Maharaj visited the Chaitanya Math sometime later. He was sleeping during the night, and there was the same sound banging on the door. Srila Prabhupada was there, and he repeated his story that their Gurudev had appeared to them to him in a dream, even more forcefully. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada was demanding that his disciple quit his home life and take the renounced order. Again, Srila Prabhupada requested Sridhar Maharaj to give him sannyas. He exclaimed that he was ready at that very moment. His reservations were gone, and he was eager to obey his guru's orders. Sridhar Maharaj told me, I again requested him to please wait a little longer and suggested maybe he take the Bahudak sannyas, which involves living a short distance away from home, but still near enough to family to take care of family concerns. That might be an option. Okay, so I'm going to skip ahead. The next morning when he woke, there was commotion in the house. He had left his residence in the middle of the night. He was gone, and none was informed of his decision. He took nothing, no baggage, no clothes, no prasad, no Lakshmi. I considered this to be my great loss. So when I read that, and I read this purport, and Vidura, he's talking about very strong preaching, and then how this, what had happened in today's verse, if we consider, this is a pivot verse. This is where it's everything changed today. It was a leading up to, and now it's leading away from. What happened today? Something very pivotal happened today. In fact, so many times they ask that moment. Well, this we see with Dhritarashtra, that he just left. I mean, they didn't find out till the next day. I think it was Yudhisthira was looking around. Where's Dhritarashtra? He just left in the middle of the night. So here, if we look in the translation, there's a word pragya. Very rare does Prabhupada put Sanskrit words in the translation also. So that means for some emphasis on us. There's actually two or three words that struck out. Excuse me. This pragya, resolute determination, and dira. So these different points are all closely resembling, are close in some similar words. So this pragya, I was going to, since Prabhupada had mentioned it, find a couple points in it from the Bhagavad Gita. Of course, we know that time of awakening for the introspective stage. So what was taking place here? We're going to read a couple verses, because I always find that it's very helpful to ground everything, and so we see where the Bhagavad Gita is being applied, one verse after another. For those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one, O beloved child of the Kurus. Their intelligence of those who are not resolute is many branched. But then there's I'm going to skip around just a little bit. So if I wrote it down. Sorry. I'm going to go to 269. Oh, L269 is, what is night for all beings is time of awakening for the self-controlled. And what is time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. And then, where was it? I'm going to go to 252. Yes. So this verse here has a lot to do with what happens. Something happened. He got it. You know, he was being preached to. You're never sure if the person's going to get it. It's when your intelligence, this is Bhagavad Gita 252, when your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. So here it's talking about the association with non-sadhus, that it has to be given up. All that they'll try to do is convince you of this material nature. I had it written down the other day. I think I read it to Ramananda, but I think I lost it by now. Is on how the mind very enthusiastically gives you advice which is simply intoxicating poison meant to kill you. In fact, if you look at the word dira, a lot of times it's translated as sober. And sober is generally put next to intoxication. It's not intoxication. So this material nature, it has an influence on us of intoxicating us. And of course, if you look at the root word of intoxication, it's toxic. That it's going to kill you, but you think it's very nice. In fact, so many people got involved with drugs saying, I know it's an addictive drug, but I can control it. It won't happen to me. And that's the last thing. They're all completely addicted shortly thereafter. So the humility, one aspect of humility is these instructions apply to me. All these instructions apply to me. When we start thinking, these instructions from my spiritual master, they don't apply to me, then we should know that's a warning sign that there's an intoxication, maybe pride, that's right up there with something that covers your actual intelligence. An aspect of humility is say, if I do this, I'm going to be affected. I'm not anybody special. These instructions apply to me. Back to Pragya. So I think there's probably four or five verses that all end in Pragya. Street to Pragya. Where was that? Right down. I've never been able to organize things so much. But, 255 starts off where, and this, when a sensible man gives up all varieties of sense desire, which arise from mental concoction, and when the mind, thus purified, finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. And this pure transcendental consciousness is, and the word for word is, Stita Pragya, the same Pragya. In today's verse, it was translated as, introspective knowledge. So this introspective, he goes from, there's internal and external. So he's understanding Vidura's instructions, and there's really no one you can discuss this with. Like even when Srila Prabhupada, he said in the purport, if he had not done this, if it wasn't for the forceful preaching of his spiritual master, he would have never done it. At least we read about it from the dream, but in the purport, Prabhupada just said that this is such a large task to do. I'm sorry, I didn't actually wrap that up. So the difference between the Dhira is he saves himself. He goes, we understand that he gets a type of liberation, Maharaj Dhritarashtra. He gets liberated, but he doesn't take anybody with him. And that type of liberation, what we were saying, that there's three kinds, and Dhira was considered the lowest. Then there was Sannyas, and then there was Anuttama. So we see Prabhupada as the Anuttama, that he did the same thing, left in the middle of the night, gave up everything. So, of course, when you take sannyas, you take a vow of social death. You sign your death certificate. And then, of course, we know that, what's that verse by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He says, he who reasons ill, who say that Vaishnavas die, when thou art still living in sound, the Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So this is the Anuttama, how he does it. And then we understand the Dhira. He went, he understood what was, how to free himself, and he freed himself, and he got a type of liberation. But also, it's mentioned later, we may come to it, where Vidura was actually sad that he couldn't give him anything higher. He only gave him a certain amount. And when the Acharyas discussed why Vidura only gave him this amount, how to free himself, but not the positive, no, the positive actions of bhakti and saving all the other fallen souls, was because of Dhritarashtra considering Vidura his young brother, as opposed to seeing him as a pure devotee. Even though it says these are the instructions of a pure devotee, the person has to accept them as a pure devotee, and then he can inquire very confidentially. But Dhritarashtra always considered Vidura as his younger brother, and there's some familial affection that kept him going on. So we wanted to go on. I wanted to, if I could make that point about this threshold of conviction. That's what I like to call it, the conviction of how now I'm going to do it. When does that happen? How does that happen? Because each one of us, I remember in different times, like in, for instance, back in the heyday, I guess it was in the mid-70s, late-70s, one devotee comes to the temple, or non-devotee. He says, I want to give everything. We had a school bus. They sent the bus and myself to his apartment, clear everything out of the apartment. He's giving everything. He went to the bank, cleared everything out of the bank, and gave everything to the temple. So that moment, when one decides that, it's so determined, it's so fixed on how to maintain that third point. But here we're understanding that happened by introspection. He considered it deeply within himself. Now on this idea of, I'll read a couple more verses that have that same point on there. So we read on the 255 that he gives up all varieties of sense desire. We already know he's indifferent to everything that's going to be heard. That includes the mind, because you know sometimes it says that the mind is, well, not so much that, where it says that in different ages, the demons live differently. In Satyuga, the demons were on another planet. In Treta Yuga, they were on the same planet, different continents, Ravana. And then in the third yuga, they're in the same cities. And in this yuga, they're in the same bodies. So I sometimes think, when I consider what my mind says to me, very enthusiastically, it's all bad for me. But it never presents it as bad for me. It always presents it like this is the best thing ever. So I figured, okay, now I understand where the demon is. It's that desire for material enjoyment that's manifested through the mind and the senses and the perverted intelligence. And then I had the devotee, which is when I can, by mercy, remember Srila Prabhupada's instructions. He's the devotee. And if I can remember his instructions, then I have the devotee with me also. So I have the devotee and I have the demon living with me. So when you give up that association, or at least by introspection, you recognize it. And then there's different songs that we naturally have when in that condition. Like there's that one I was thinking of. It's kind of a prayer like that. It's called Ishtadev Vaigyapati, or we just know it as Hari Hari Bipale. He says, "Oh Lord Hari, I've wasted my life." So we see here, he says, even if you wasted your whole life, you can still get it together at the last moment when you understand. "Although I have taken this rare human birth, I have not served Radha and Krishna, and thus I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night my heart burns in the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not accepted the means to relieve it. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Braj, became the son of Sachi, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madhai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of King Vishubhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet. For who is my beloved except for you?" So this verse here is in our line of what to do when we see that these material desires, when will they stop? As far as I see, the mind is always going to be doing its propositioning. And as long as you have the sadhana, which means always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, everything is building on that point, more and more to Kirtanya Sadahari, to be able to take shelter of the holy name. If your shelter is good, that even though, 270 Bhagavad Gita? Just look that up real quick. For those who have good memories, they may know it. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. So that means the incessant flow of desires are still there. They're entering like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled, but is always still in himself. He alone achieves peace, not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. So the desires, they're coming, but he's not being affected as long as he doesn't make offenses. You have the two options. You have the mind with all its demands, and you have your intelligence by remembering Srila Prabhupada's instructions. But if you make an offense, then that one part of Prabhupada's instructions, that edge to remember Krishna and have the strength to remain unaffected, that disappears, and all you have left is your mind, and then your whereabouts are unknown. Like he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace, or his divine grace, Prabhupada's instruction. If, however, you don't hear these enough to affect becoming free from the false ego, then you're going to be directed, falsely directed by your false ego, and you'll be lost again. So that same point that's brought up at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, did you hear these instructions? Is your illusion now dispelled? So every day at, let's say, the end of our sadhana period, it's usually in the morning, we have to see, have we reset our default settings back to pure devotional service is my perspective, and the mind and the senses, they have to be controlled by the intelligence, holding on to Prabhupada's instructions. Because if the sadhana isn't checked, gradually it can turn in niyamagraha, and we forget. And then it's the whole thing kind of gets confusing. So you have to remember, by the end of the sadhana, all of our reset, our defaults on who we are, what we're doing, our focus in life, they all have to be successfully corrected. So going back to Pragya, I think 57 has it again in there. It says, in this material world, one is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising nor desiring it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So that prajna in this verse is perfect knowledge. So we can see one time it's, what was it, 55, it was, the word prajna was transcendentally situated. Here it's perfect knowledge, situated, fixed in perfect knowledge. And then it goes on to explain in the next verse again, what does he do? How does somebody act like that? It says, one who is able to withdraw his senses from the sense objects, as a tortoise withdraws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. So what's the perfect consciousness here? It's called prajna. That same word is being used, that's being explained. So this prajna is when you get it. And I asked one devotee who was a Sanskrit person to explain a little bit more to me. And he said it's an environment where your knowledge expands. That's the way he... So it's also quite similar to realization. It's another platform. Like we can hear, but not act on it. I don't know, maybe we're stirring it up, trying to get enough momentum to actually hit that threshold. It's a threshold. It's an interesting word, threshold. Besides the kind on your door, they have it in like your synapses in your body, pregnant. You can't be partially pregnant. There's a threshold that you are or you're not. So with the synapses in the nervous system of the body, it builds up to a certain point and then it fires. Below that point, you're not aware of a sensation. And then it hits that threshold, it fires and you become aware of it. So it's below the threshold of recognition of the experience. So this prajna is when it hits that threshold of conviction. And while I was thinking of that, maybe I put that other book. I got another book I was going to read. Oh, here it is. I got about four books spread out here. This is, let me see. Oh, I'm almost out. Okay, I'll read this real quick. I'm sorry. Let's see. The word sama, S with a slash over A-M-A, means controlling the mind and keeping it from being diverted to various ways by fixing it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one's mind is fixed on the Supreme Lord, he is known to be situated on the Sama platform. On that platform, the devotee understands Krishna is the basic principle behind everything that is within one's existence, like Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Centered person can understand that Krishna is present in everything and is distributed all over the cosmic manifestation. Although everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord and is situated in his energy, everything is nonetheless different from Krishna in his personal form. It is said in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, those whose intelligence is fixed on Krishna has obtained the Sama platform. So let's see. Skipping a little bit, says, so the stability of mind can be achieved for one who has concluded that the Supreme Person of Godhead is the original source of everything And when one can control his senses, that is called sama. When one is ready to tolerate all kinds of sufferings in order to maintain control of the senses and keep the mind steady, is called tatiksha, or tolerance. And one can control the urges of the tongue and the genital, that is called driti. From driti, one becomes dhira, pacified. So this dhira, this is what we were talking about. This dhira is the fundamental basis of all the rasas. One has to first have dhira. That's the next paragraph. These are the instructions to Rupa Goswami. He says, if one can fix his mind on Krishna without deviation, he can obtain a steadfast position in Krishna conscious Shantaras. So unflinching faith in Krishna is established and material desires cease. So one takes shelter. If one could learn how to take shelter, then three things happen simultaneously. He gets devotion, he gets direct perception of Krishna, and he gets he becomes indifferent to everything else. Just like if one eats, he gets nourishment, the good flavor, and becomes filled up. So I ran my time up already, so we can take any questions. I cover most of the points that I wanted to make. So Ramananda, if you want to see if anybody has anything they would like to add, you can unmute everybody. Thank you for paying attention. I'm sorry I bounced around a little.
Madame, thankfully I was here for the whole class. The phone just rang. I just got called to the beach. So I just wanted to say I really loved the whole class, but especially in the beginning, I thought it's brilliant how you tied in Bhakti Siddhanta's words that were transcendentally haunting and beckoning Prabhupada to leave. And I, quite frankly, I didn't remember the part that Prabhupada left in the middle of the night. I didn't remember that. And that was just really powerful, really sweet. And a wonderful class. I got to go now to a wedding, but I just want to thank you for the class, and I especially appreciated how you tied that in about Prabhupada. That was very powerful, brilliant.
Sometimes we forget how Prabhupada preached so strongly. I was just listening to a morning walk, February 25th, 1976, in Mayapur. Prabhupada is preaching so strong. I mean, he's really blessed, and he says, if a sannyas has some desire for material enjoyment, he says, that's just like poison. You're committing suicide. Then he says, suicide is like against the law. You can't even do it. And he just went this whole thing about poison, and it was really strong. He says, and they just come back as monkeys, and they're puna, puna, chavi, chavi, and Nami tied it into that verse 7530, Atanta Gobir. And I was saying, Prabhupada really sometimes, these are morning walks with mostly sannyasis, and it was, in his classes, they're a little bit more mellow, but one to one or one on these, he really lets people at it. So I was thinking the way Vidura, he really he gave them the sauce, as we would say in the vernacular. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to also say that was an amazing story.
And that came to me in the nighttime when I was sleeping, so I figured, I don't know who does that, you know, but we had a devotee who had some kind of a special ability for a while, and he used to tell you that there's all kinds of other personalities that are giving you advice that you don't see, and he would say who they were, different ones, and he got involved with a lot of other people that had these abilities also, and one person would... he would write on a piece of paper who these different personalities were without even knowing you. In the next room, it was in a hat, which it was a mystical kind of thing. And for devotees, this particular couple of devotees, it had Srila Prabhupada was there. And he didn't know. He said, who is this person? His name's, you know, spelled different than everybody else's. He never knew anything about what was going on. And it was quite... you know, it's another aspect of one of the things that we're not so much knowing about. how these things work. Quite interesting. So I don't know who comes and gives you all these different points, but it's quite fascinating. I wrote down most of them, and I followed some of them here in the class. But I don't know, I missed most of my night. Oh, I have one other point I was going to make, if I could. It was just on marriage, how that one conviction, I'm going to get married, because now I already married people and stuff, that changes practically everything in your life. So it's a samskar, and they generally try to have it be connected with God somehow. So this other type of thing where this conviction took place and how it changes everything in your life. One is, the marriage is more or less the mode of passion trying to come to the mode of goodness by accepting some duty instead of whim in your life, just being controlled by the whims where I like this, I don't like this, or I'll like you this week, but if there's any trouble, I'll leave. So when you go into the wedding, into the mode of goodness, then Krishna says, if you want to consecrate what you got here, you're going to have to move into the duty. And then he says, the duality doesn't exist in duty. You can't say for happiness or stress or wealth or no money and health or no health. He eliminates all that so you can come up to the mode of goodness. And then you get a different experience in life. That's why it's a sacrifice, 18.5. So that it was a real nice point. And then all of us, what happened with us when we got that conviction? Once you decide to be a devotee, who could talk you out of it? Nobody could talk you out of it. So once this conviction takes place, that's it. So how to get to that point? That's, you know, we've accepted, we're doing different things. I'm always trying to see there's so much more, like, Prabhupada, I'm sure he's a nice householder. I'm sure he's helping out the temple. He's doing so many things. But anyway, because of mentioned about Dhritarashtra, he wasn't a devotee, so it's a little different for us. But then the next day I put this morning walk tape on, and I said, oh, I have an aspect of that in my own life where Prabhupada needs to preach very strongly. So, thank you again. Ramananda.
You're welcome. Would anyone like to add anything?
Thank you for kind attention and tolerating my jumpiness of how I talk and the way my voice is. But you may be able to pick something out of it that's useful.
Thank you, Madan Mohan Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Alright. You're welcome. Thank you.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Aye, all glories to Prabhupada.
Aye, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.